Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. And Joel, I want to focus a lot just on the U.S. equity markets because the last, let's say, 2.5 trading sessions as we are recording this, about halfway through the day on Tuesday, they've been pretty wild. We saw a pretty big reversal on Friday. This is after about a 3-week correction in the broad averages. And on Monday, some volatility again. It looked like the bulls were going to push the market higher. The market faded through the tail end of the day. And then we start off today with markets up strongly. But I think more importantly, what we're seeing is the NASDAQ leading the way. The NASDAQ up almost 4%. The Dow's up 1%. The S&P is up 2%. It really seems to me like the bulls, again, have control of these markets after what was a pretty shallow 3-week correction in the broad averages. We can look at different sectors and see bigger price drops and some nice pops in some of these economic reopening stocks. But overall, these markets continue to grind higher. What are your views on these markets and the volatility we've been seeing recently, Joel?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. A couple things to say regarding the volatility, and we are at that time of the year where you have the rollovers of the financial futures contracts that trade March, June, September, in December. The rollover date, the unofficial rollover date for the S&P and the NASDAQ futures is tomorrow. So you kind of see this kind of market action where liquidity is kind of split between the two contracts, between the March and June. People that want to maintain the position in the March have to do the opposite in the March. If you're long the March, you have to sell the March and buy the June. And not everyone does it at the same time, and it just creates these air pockets in the market. So the volatility, you know, into this week is not, you know, not unexpected to me. Also, the quad witch that you have coming up a week from Friday is often, you know, extra volatility and turns in the market. So, it's just the way this market's been, if they're selling something, they're buying something else. So you never get that good old flush in the toilet where everything goes down and everything's on sale. And so when you have this rotation, nothing, you know, you go down, but you don't really go down much. What I was looking for was, you know, obviously you had the shift out of your high PE, your growth stocks into value, and your value tech got really hit. And your Apples, your Amazon, Microsoft, Google, I mean, they're back up today. And that's what I, in my opinion, that's what you need for like a strong market. So, you know, boom, people are buying all the little things, but now they're looking at the big boys. The big boys are the one that let us off the March low. And I think that when you have 6 of these stocks that make up 25% of the index of the 500 stocks, if they're not going, then you're not going to have a broad-based rally. That's what you're seeing today up across the board.
Joel, do you think there's anything more going on here because of the fact that we are seeing big tech lead and even some of the, let's call them, safer assets start to get a buy again? Is it anything more than simply they were lagging these restart stocks and now money's flowing back in? Or do you think there's actually a shift going on in investor psychology about maybe they're realizing that they all got a little too bullish about this whole restart?
Yeah, I mean, the stocks rebounded, and there's been, you know, certainly some good news, and the way the market's acting, just everyone's going to be running to Disney World, everyone's going to be running out to restaurants and everything, so a lot of pent-up, demand from the pandemic. Yeah, I think it's just like a healthy rotation. And now people are saying, hey, you know, what led us out of the abyss? And it was the tech stocks. And, one thing about the pandemic, people became more accustomed to being at home. The internet, which was already a big part of people's lives, became a bigger part. And it's just, you know, getting back to, you know, the value tech, and that's what you're seeing. So the reopening stocks, I don't know how some of these stocks are back at all-time highs. I don't see how Royal Caribbean is, you know, not sailing and they're back within striking distance. I mean, don't understand it, but you don't have to understand the price action. What you have to understand is that, you know, you need the big boys. You need your Apples, your Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Facebook. You know, you need those stocks to have a broad-based rally. And a lot of these stocks got pounded after good earnings reports too, for absolutely no reason. So a lot of different dynamics there. I think people are just, you know, realizing, you know, where their bread is buttered, and you know, and that's in the value tech.
So Joel, I look at a daily chart here of the S&P dating back to September, and it's been a very impressive market, especially after November, just moving higher and higher. And even this last correction that we got, it's hard to even call it a correction because it took almost a month. We can go back to the peak on February 16th at 39.50. It dropped to 37.23, which is a little more than 5%, but it really dropped there in an orderly fashion over a month, and now we're rebounding strongly off of here. It seems like new all-time highs are pretty much a certainty in the next couple days. It's impressive how quickly these markets are just bouncing back, at least to me.
How quickly the market forgets about interest rates, right? We were talking last week, oh, the bonds are getting killed, the TLT rates are going up. Like, when are people going to pull their money out of the stock market into going to CDs? I don't see you rushing off to the Royal Bank of Canada to lock in a 0.5% or 1% on your money. I mean, first of all, Pump and Powell says, you know, he's going to keep greasing the pumps for as long as he can. Secondly, you can't have, you know, interest rates move up that much because of the way it has the multiplier effect that it has on the debt. And then the other side of the coin, people that are worried about inflation, well, there's inflation in stock market too. There's inflation in stock prices. So inflation is not always a bad thing. Runaway inflation, rampant inflation, and then if you get a slowdown in growth, then then you got some problems. But, you know, right now it seems that growth is looking to rebound, if not be better than it was before the pandemic, and interest rates are low. So I think, you know, people want to make a big deal, you know, when the bond market falls out of bed. But I think when it comes back down to reality, people aren't, bonds are not the place to be. The stock market is the place to be. And that's what you're seeing on these corrections.
Yeah, in all fairness, it has been the place to be, the stock market. It just keeps on weathering every storm, and it seems like whatever money is printed, a fair portion of it does land in these markets. Regarding the bond market, though, we are seeing a bit of a buy come into bonds, so we have the 10-year back below 1.6%. Is this just going to be the new kind of normal level for us to be watching here? I realize yields got washed out, and they have rebounded fairly strongly, but they, at least in the near term, seem fairly well supported around this 1.5 to 1.6 level on the 10-year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, 1.5, 1.6, I mean, unless you're parking, you know, millions and millions of dollars overnight, and it really doesn't make any difference to me, really. What the, you know, I mean, you could have conservative investments and stuff, but, and I'm not, I mean, it's just like 1.5, 1.6. I mean, people 1.4, 1.8. I mean, people make such a big deal out of this. And, you know, interest rates and fixed income and getting, you know, money by, you know, getting return by having your money in the bank, that's just been dead. It's been dead for so long. I just, you know, when people, you know, make these moves and talk about a monumental shift, I don't when and if it ever happens. It just, to me, it's just rates have been so low for so long. I just, and we have predicated our economy on these lower rates. I think Pumpin' Powell is, I mean, he's forced himself into a position. As long as inflation stays low, then everything will work out fine.
Exactly. Or even as you said, as long as inflation remains somewhat tamed, right? And
yes,
then that's just fine. And that's even what the Fed has been telling us. And hey, to your point about 1.5%, you can pull up a chart, and as long as you eliminate just the trading in the last year of the 10-year, this is a historically low level. It's right at the bottom of kind of its range. So something to consider there too. So, Joel, just to wrap us up then, regarding the big boys now taking charge, they had sold off quite strongly. You look at something like Tesla, you look at something like Facebook and Apple, they gave back a fair bit of their chart. And is there that much room to run higher? It was a fast drop for, our, let's say, Tesla. Started January 25th, dropped from 900 the whole way down to about 540. That's almost 40%. Does it have just that easy of a run higher then?
I mean, you put Tesla in that category, and I think that that's, you know, that's just a very speculative stock that did find some great monthly support. Actually, the December low was at 540. I mean, when I look at these kind of moves, you know, 900, let's call it 550, 670, you know, 325 point move. You know, you look for it to get halfway back. I'd be more interested in, you know, Apple went from 145 to 116. You know, can this get back in the 130s? You know, I think Tesla's a little bit different beast. But, you know, when you see these extended moves, so, you know, Apple, you know, over the last year had a tremendous run. You see a pullback, it finds its footing. But I usually, you know, a simple gauge that I'd like to, like, you know, can they get back half of that move? And for that was about a 30-point move in Apple, 15 points from yesterday's low. That takes you back to 128, 130. So when I see a move and then I see a counter move and then, you know, the trend is still up, then I'll see how much of that loss can it get back. And, you know, the first gauge is 50%. For Tesla, that's going to be up much higher. They got an upgrade today. But, you know, those 50% bounces are good. And especially if, like, they coincide with, like, a daily high or a pair of highs and a couple closes. So, you know, don't get really over high expectations. Just see, you know, look at what the trend was in the stock before, where some former highs are, and, you know, where that 50% rebound comes in.
Okay, Joel, final comment then. It deals with this whole economic stimulus bill that's coming out of the U.S. Is that already priced in? Or on the flip side, is that going to give that check that all the individuals receive, is that going to give the market just that much more money to move higher on the back of?
Well, I mean, people say it's baked in, but then you get a 25-point pop in the futures on Sunday night. So,
and those checks, you know, haven't been received, right?
Yeah,
once those checks hit bank accounts.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the people are using them to pay their rent and, you know, do other things. But I think the one thing that this pandemic did is it, you know, people being, you know, stuck in their homes has opened up, you know, a lot of people's, you know, their investment horizon, their investment goals and stuff. And, you know, I think one bright side of it is that, you know, it's brought a whole new group of investors to the markets. Now, do I know if these $1,400 stimulus checks are going to be going right into the market? I don't say, but I don't think you can really say anything is fully factored into the market until it's in the market. People have the checks in your hands and see how things react.
Yeah, I think so too, Joel. Hey, Joel, it's great chatting with you. I will post a link to the Benzinga website. Everyone can listen to your pre-market prep show. I always appreciate your time joining us every week. Joel, thank you again for taking some time on this Tuesday, and I'll chat with you again next week, buddy.
Thank you, Corey. Talk to you next week.